B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend. NFL training camp starting, getting going this week. And I'll put that in air quotes because it's not your traditional opening to training camp. It's guys reporting and taking tests and quarantining. It's going to be a real slow rollout for these camps. So the Patriots are really nowhere close to getting on the field and practicing, never mind in pads, never mind hitting each other. The preseason has been canceled, so it's going to be a really slow rollout. But be that as it may, the NFL, as part of their return to play agreement, agreed to cut rosters from 90 to 80. So every team had to do a series of roster cuts before we even got to this week. And the Patriots began theirs by cutting their two undrafted rookie quarterbacks who, believe it or not, Maz, if you can believe it, and I can, we were getting calls on in the last couple of weeks about watch out for this. Oh, I got to look up their names. Jamar Smith of Louisiana Tech and Brian Lewerke of Michigan State. We were actually getting people calling up. Look, it was really more about Smith than Lewerke. But both those guys gone. So you got a quick thought on that.
Oh, thank God. Seriously, thank God. So I don't have to hear these people anymore. That's immediately I saw it and I went, ah, there you go. All these people trying to tell me this Jamar Smith character. Lewerke? I mean, first of all, obviously, these guys suck. Because the only way they were going to be was in the final 10 spot. It makes me wonder why the Patriots signed them at all. Like, were they just trying to pacify people so that they did add some quarterback talent, you know, from the draft or from college? And I know these were undrafted guys, but you know what I mean? It sort of goes all part and parcel with the draft. So was that what that was all about? Because I told you, I saw Lewerke's highlight tape or video on YouTube or if you want to call it a highlight tape, he blows. If those are his best plays, I can't tell you how bad this guy sucks. And the other guy, I didn't look up, but they're both gone. And I laughed my ass off when I saw it. Laughed my fat, hairy ass off.
Okay, so the good news is we won't have to hear those callers talk about Jamar Smith about possibly winning this job. Those guys are gone. Meanwhile, our very own Big Jim Murray, I think, has some breaking reporting on a potential Pat's roster move coming up.
Yeah, so I heard occasionally, you know, I get scoops out of the ether from someone I either drank with or smoked up before.
And, street.
Word on the street. And so this street one, I feel like it's confident. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And you can yell at me on Twitter. But these players are going to have until the end of the week or next week to opt out. I think it's August 3rd to write the league and say, hey, I'm opting out because of COVID concerns or whatever it happens to be. You've already had one player in the league, and that's one of the guards, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of the Chiefs, who is opting out. And I had heard that Marcus Cannon is going to be one of the players for the Patriots that does this very thing. You know, Maz reminded me last week when we were talking about it, he had, you know, a prior health concern and scare, about a decade ago because he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So maybe that's the reason. Maybe it's, you know, just overall COVID concerns. But Marcus Cannon, from what I understand, is going to be one of the players in the Pats that opts out.
How bad does that hurt him?
What I brought up to Maz is, does it make you feel better about the franchise tag that was put on Joe Tooney? Because Tooney's played tackle before. He only did right tackle once, and I think it was the opener last year when Cannon went down against Pittsburgh. But, you know, for me, if you felt weird about that near $15 million he's getting, if you have different permutations of that line, you shift him over to the right, I think he's more than capable to do it. So they'll figure it out. I'd feel better if Dante Scarnecchia was still there, but I mean, it hurts, but I don't think it's like a death blow to the team by any stretch.
I mean, to me, any loss of an experienced player that has a decent upside hurts. And so, now again, if Cannon plays like he did last year and Mason alongside him, it's not going to matter. But in theory, the offensive line is one of the few places where they have continuity and experience. So, I mean, I don't see how it can be good. I mean, maybe it doesn't hurt that much, but I don't see how it's good.
Well, you lose what you lose is ceiling because when that line's intact and healthy and playing to its capability, we see what it's capable of.
Oh, yeah. It's the reason they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Take you to a Super Bowl and win a championship. You know, that's what they're capable of. They fell back last year. So if we were just going to get more of what it was last year and Cannon struggled, then it's really not much of a loss, right? Like, what's the difference? If it's, if they were going to have a rebound year and be what they were 2 years before, then that's a big loss. And does it make me feel better about the franchise tag? No, because, you know, Joe Tooney should have been someone that you're trading for something in return or replacing with a cheap draft pick. You shouldn't. I still think they mismanaged that position and mismanaged that spot. They may land on their feet. You know, it may work out that way, but that's still not good roster planning. That's not how Bill would want to draw it up. And if they back into it, they back into it. You know,
how do you think that's going to be spun, though, if that's what ends up happening?
Forget about it. Forget about it, Murray. It's all right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my God, that's coming.
He knew ahead of time that he was going to not play. That's why they gave him the money. Ooh. Look at him at right tackle now.
Hey, what's going to play about that contract again, Felger? Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't worried about the cap.
Well, so I wondered, do they get Cannon's cap room back or real money back, all that? I think they must. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Murray, I'm not that I want Cannon out, but I'm rooting for your take, as always, or your reporting on that. So Big Jim Murray has learned that Marcus Cannon will be one of those opting out here from the New England Patriots coming up.
And just with that overall, like, people shouldn't delude themselves. And I know I'm building a straw man here, but you know how Patriots fans are. Like, yeah, okay. they're going to be the one team not affected by this. Like, they're going to be affected by players that are going to opt out, whether it's a name or it's someone on the line. But, you know, it's going to happen here, too.
Oh, definitely. I told Jim Murray, PI, at work again.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, Murray's little news line there. We got to call it the weed wire or something.
So there's your thoughts on that. You can weigh in at 617-779-0985. A couple more items. Bruins traveled to Toronto yesterday. David Pastrnak's with the traveling party. Good sign. And he's supposed to practice with the team today. Have they hit the ice yet, Murray?
Yeah, he's on the ice. Yep, there's video of him on Twitter skating around out there.
Okay, so that's good news. Let's see. Let's see him practice with the team. Let's see him. I want to, you know, hear what he has to say for himself and all of that. So, you know, he's lost some valuable time, lost over a week off the ice away from his teammates. He's going to be behind, but better late than never. They got a full week until their first game. I think the first, play-in game, that Round Robin game, is Sunday. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, they play Friday, Sunday, I think it is, right? Or Thursday, Sunday.
So, I thought they had an exhibition coming up this week, and then the real game start of the weekend. We'll check. We don't have to fumble around on the air. But either way, that's coming up for David Pastrnak. That's good. And maybe we can stop ripping him if he gets back up to speed. I'll say this. I think he's got pressure on him, Maz. If he goes out there and sucks, we're all going to circle back to, what were you doing to get prepared? You know, chasing broads and playing ball hockey in Charlestown? I mean, what were you doing? Were you doing everything you could to get yourself in the best position to succeed, or were you out screwing around? So I think there's even, never mind what happened last year, he's got pressure on him.
Oh, no question. Look, I'm pleasantly surprised. I didn't think he was going to be there. And so I thought, wow, okay, well, I suppose that's a good sign. He does have a chance to erase it, but if he comes out and sucks, well, then that's only going to, you know, it's only going to fuel the fire, because the logical thing to do is to look at it and say, well, you're still behind. I mean, it's not like you've caught up and now you're on the same. And even Cam Neely has said that he's behind. So, look, I'm glad that he's there. I'm happy to see, again, I'm happy to see the images of him skating and playing hockey with the teammates. I'm happy to see. But the whole thing is needless.
Meanwhile, Kemba Walker gets on the floor for the Celtics, plays 9 minutes. How do we feel about that? What's the latest you're hearing on Kemba Walker, Stu? Do you feel any better about his knee condition?
No, not really. I think it's just something that they're going to manage, and there's going to be a meaningless game, and they're going to run up his minutes, and they're going to ruin him for the playoffs.
So you're not confident he's going to make it through?
No.
Why are you laughing, Murray?
That's just it. Celtics basketball returning soon. Jimmy Stewart with the most negative preview ever. I love it.
Well, it's maddening that get your knee right, fix it, and then you have Gordon Hayward who's going to leave, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are doing these other things, and it's like, do you want to play? Do you want to win a championship or not? Like, let's go. There's a golden opportunity here for the Celtics to win a championship, and are you doing everything right to be in the proper spot to win it? I hope so, because you better be, because the door is open. Win it. You have 4 All-Stars. Do something.
I tell you what, I get. I know it's just a scrimmage, but that first scrimmage
was hideous. It was disgusting.
Yeah, Tatum was basically non-existent in that game. Their best player on the floor was Daniel Tice, by far.
And he got eaten up by Steven Adams.
Yeah, not great.
That looked like a rec league game, game. That was bad.
So, I mean, I think it's a fair second guess. Kemba Walker's got 4 months on the shelf, and is he ready? Was he, you know, I know there's circumstances too. You can't go to the hospitals like you used to, but still, they have more at their disposal than the average Joe. And he's got 4 months to get right. And if he's not right, I think that's fair second guessing. So that's on the table. We also want to get to the Lou Williams situation. We sort of alluded to this earlier in case you didn't hear. Lou Williams of the Clippers gets an exemption to go, leave the bubble, go home to Atlanta to attend a family matter, a funeral, right?
Yeah.
Which he does. But then apparently right after the memorial service, he goes to the strip club and is he's there partying with Murray, you know more than me. He's partying with a rapper. The rapper posts the picture. Then they take it down. They say, no, this was from in the past. The NBA looks at it and goes, no, it wasn't. This was from Friday. And now they've shut down Lou Williams, right?
Yes, that is correct. And it's not just to say it's just a strip club is really not doing a service. I got to tell you, like Magic City. Let me just tell you, it's not even for the girls. Like Magic City.
Full service?
In Atlanta. No, it's nothing like that. It's
was it the place you took me to?
No, that's the Claremont. That's like a dirt bag place.
What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
are you crazy? Lou Williams wouldn't be caught dead in that place.
That mask has that 100% correct. No, this place is like high class. It's very acrobatic. It's like going to a Cirque du Soleil show. I'm not kidding. Like, it's sensory overload. It's madness. You'll see money thrown around literally like you've never seen before. And here's where it's funny because he's getting a lot of crap for saying he went there for the wings. The food's good. So, if you've ever been to Magic City, I can understand why this kind of happened. Again, he's not taking personal responsibility, but I get it. So, he went there, after the funeral, and so now, he's going to get shut down, and I can understand why people are pissed off given the world we live in now.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not pissed off because of the world we live in. I'm pissed off when I then hear the players like David Price come out and say, well, you see, does Major League Baseball really have our best interest in mind? I don't like it when the players are blaming the league when it's them going to get boobs in their face. Like, it's, you know, if you're doing everything right and you're being careful and you're practicing your own personal responsibility and the responsibility to your teammates and the people in your league, and you get COVID or you run into something because they're putting you in a dangerous spot, then I'm with you. But I think the leagues and the teams are doing everything they can and are making these environments as safe as possible to the point where I think they are generally safe. And these players are the ones who are leaving the reservation, Murray. So that's what frustrates me.
Oh, yeah, and I'm with you on that because with Price's tweet, too, he's acting like the teams aren't disinfecting every single area. They're not taking care of the bullpens, the dugouts, the locker rooms and everything like that. And, of course, they're doing that. It's just these guys are still going out. That's what it is.
I mean, so the Marlins thing is great. I didn't realize their itinerary. Before they arrived in Philadelphia, they were at home at South Beach, and they spent 2 days in Atlanta for exhibition games, and then they traveled to Philly, and the next thing you know, it's like now half their traveling party has got COVID.
Yeah, because I would guess that those Marlins players were also at Magic City.
So what do you think? Like, I mean, you know. I mean, I believe, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I believe even the Marlins, which is a second city organization, I bet they've disinfected their home facilities. They've kicked everyone out of the building. They've distanced all the locker rooms and all the personnel. They're either in masks or they're not there. They're following tier one, tier two, tier three. I guarantee you the plane is well attended to. Their hotel has been, pre-vetted, and they've created a safe little travel bubble. If you just stay in it and don't mess around, I bet the odds are you're going to stay healthy. And so I don't look at the Marlins situation and go, boy, what are the Marlins doing? I look at the players and say, what are you doing? You're not under lock and key. You're not under armed guard. It's up to you to do the right thing. And are they doing the right thing? Lou Williams ain't doing the right thing. So there's just a little quick look around the world of sports. You want to weigh in on any of those things, okay, the Pats and those cuts, you Lamar Smith people, you have to call somebody else if someone else picks up him. I'm sorry, I keep saying Lamar. Jamar Smith, I'm sorry. Jamar Smith of Louisiana Tech. Brian Lewerke of Michigan State, they're gone. Big Jim Murray, according to his sources, believes Marcus Cannon will be opting out this year. What does that mean for the Patriots' offensive line? Pasternak's back for the Bruins. Walker's back for the Celtics. And Lou Williams is getting legs and eggs. So your thoughts on all of that at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, let's just get to the facts of what we know here, Ramona. What was Lou Williams sort of cleared to be doing? And then what do we know about what he was doing beyond that?
So the NBA protocol says that you can have excused absences for deaths in the family, family emergencies, previously scheduled weddings. And Lou Williams had an excused absence to go attend the funeral of a very close family friend in Atlanta. So that's all kosher. But while he was in Atlanta on Thursday night, a rapper who was at the club that Lou Williams was visiting took pictures of him and tagged him in the photo, quickly deleted those photos. And then later on, Jack Harlow, the rapper, says, oh, those photos were old. The NBA obviously saw the photos. They've questioned Lou Williams about what he was doing while he was in Atlanta. So the question is, will he have to re-quarantine for the 4 days that other players and what the protocols say you have to do, just 4 days? Or, because of the nature of his activities, they can impose a new re-quarantine of up to 14 days, in which case he could miss some time during the 8 seeding games.
So that's Ramona Shelburne on the Lou Williams story. That's quite a situation. All right, back to your phones on everything we've hit on today. David Lynn, what do you got for us, David?
How insecure of a society are we that we need cutouts of people in fans at our professional sporting events? It reminds me of a movie a few years ago called The Lonely Guy with Steve Martin and Charles Grodin. And they were so lonely that they had a party and they had cutout dolls that they rent, or cutout cardboard things that they rented of celebrities. And as I said, it's just kind of a sad state when we need that. To be honest, I thought the game was more visible without it. You could see the ball travel without the distraction of the fans in the background. That's all I got.
Yeah, maybe a little bit that. The cardboard cutouts, I just don't mind, though, because they're almost ironical. And it's not, they're not trying to fake anything. They're not trying to create something that's not there or recreate something that's not there. It's something totally different, and it's a little quirky. And, you know, when they first did it with the soccer over in Europe, it didn't offend me as much as the fake cheering, the fake booing, and the thing Fox did, the Brewer game over the weekend, if you saw that, with the actual literal computer-generated superimposed fans. Like, and they didn't do it the whole game. But, like, that stuff, to me, I have zero use for.
Yeah, but with this, again, I just focus on the Dodgers ones because that's one I've seen the most, with the fake fans behind home plate with Mary Hart and what's his name, the garlic pitch man, you know, staring right at you with the weird smiles and just how tight the shot is. It's very 1984 dystopian, like, I don't know, like, you must smile and enjoy the product. And that's my own madness. I just, I don't know, like, watching the Bundesliga or anything like that, they're inoffensive to me because you're not. The camera shot's not so tight on them. You see these so closely that it's like, all right, just give me empty seats, I think, or put a tarp or use stuffed animals, just something. But I don't like those cardboard cutouts.
I mean, look, if we're going to be ironical, I just assume have the sex dolls they were putting in Korea or Japan or wherever that was. Like, if we're going to have fun with it, let's really have fun with it.
The stuffed animals are cute. Like, I don't mind that either. The only thing that Murray mentioned this early on, and I dismissed it, but it caught up to me over the weekend. The only thing I don't like from these empty stadiums and is the empty bank of seats behind home plate in the baseball. They got to fill that somehow. Fill it somehow. Do something creative. I mean, just leave it to baseball to have the least creative ideas. Where the NBA has this whole production, this whole new set, and I think the NHL is going to do something similar. There were some mock-ups that was, you know, presented over the weekend for what the NHL is doing. They're pretty much, you know, they follow the NBA on everything. They copy them on everything. But they're going to have something set up for their rinks as well. It's going to be a special setup. Leave it to baseball. You know, just to either have cardboard cutouts of Mary Hart or nothing. Like, they can't come up with anything better.
So the empty seats in baseball don't bother me. I don't know why. I don't have a clue. The empty seats don't bother me. I'm glad you brought up the NBA, though, because there is one thing about the NBA studio, and that's what it is, that I don't like. And that is that the floor is the same both inbounds and out of bounds.
I hated this, too.
So I have trouble identifying the out-of-bounds line sometimes. Like, wait a minute, is he inbounds or out-of-bounds? It's like an old high school gym where they have the volleyball court drawn on it or something. Yeah, you're like, which line is it that they're supposed to be inside? I think they should have done the out-of-bounds area a solid color instead of just, you know, the flooring. To me, because again, now I'm looking for the line going, wait, is that the out of bounds line or not? I just have a little trouble with that.
Yeah, that one makes me crazy. And the argument against that would be, well, they're trying to keep it universal. You can't have a solid color because it'd be, you know, maybe offensive to one of the teams that doesn't have that color scheme. Just make it red, white, and blue or something. But they should make it different.
Oh, come on. Like, that is that really why, Murray? That's scary.
I would think so. Yeah, like, not offensive, but you know what I mean? Like, that'd be unfair.
Yeah,
or someone would
right.
make whatever whiny, you know, complaint about it. But it does, you lose track of it.
But, you know, you're seeing the pictures on the simulcast. I think the NBA court there that they've created is pretty snappy. I think they did a good job with it. Cam in Taunton with a thought on your Boston Red Sox, Cam. Let me tell you, your team, they freaking blow. Stu, would you pop them up line five? Go ahead. Hi, Cam.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, everyone, you know, took it out after Friday night, for God's sakes. And then, I mean, the fact that Jose Iglesias batting third for the freaking Orioles, my God. But, I mean, I want to talk about one player in particular. Andrew Benintendi, for the seventh overall pick or whatever he was, or either six or seven, is a letdown. I don't get the fascination with this guy. He's a decent player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you he's a bum. He's got a nice swing, but like there is nothing special about him. This guy was the number one prospect in baseball 3 years ago. I'm sorry, that's not good enough for a guy with that much hype. Not good enough.
Or he just was never that good, Maz. What do you think?
Well, so I think the hype about him got overblown because, you know, he hit for some power in college with aluminum bats, and everybody thought, well, geez, he can hit for power in the big leagues. And I, you know, I always had doubts about that from the very beginning. He's just not very big. But I'll tell you what, I watch Verdugo play, and I say, he's Benintendi, but with an edge. And so I look at Verdugo and say he plays with more of an edge than Benintendi does. Like, to me, it feels like they feel like comparable players, except I like Verdugo better. I think, you know, and I want to see how the power develops. Verdugo only hit 12 homers last year, but you can't have two guys like that in your outfield. I'd think about moving one of them.
Here's Elias in Worcester on the Celtics. Hi, Elias.
Hi. So I honestly never really understood the Kemba Walker pickup. I think Marcus Smart was the second draft pick by Brad Stevens. He could make every pass out of the pick and roll. And at this point, I'd rather have eight of Kemba's 16 shots going to Brown and Tatum, and the rest going to the bench and whoever they can get for Kemba on the trade. I don't think his knees are going to hold up. And okay,
I mean, you're hitting on three different things now. I think Kemba Walker's a badass. I like him. He's a tough little player. And I think he's value add. I think he's superior to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
He's definitely better than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He's absolutely better than Isaiah Thomas.
Not a lot.
Absolutely better.
Yeah, pretty close.
At Maz, he's not. He's not. He's better. He's more established. He's more consistent. He's a better player. He's a better player.
So, I want to see what Isaiah's numbers were in his best year here versus Kemba Walker's year.
This is why I said consistent. All right. So Kemba Walker, is he a three-time All-Star?
Maybe.
Okay, I don't have it in front of me. I thought he made it a couple years in Charlotte, and he made it here. And I think Isaiah Thomas, did he do it 1 year? Isaiah Thomas at his ceiling when he's going off, yes, volume score can light you up. Yes,
he made
yes.
two All-Star teams, Isaiah Thomas.
Kemba's okay. Four-time All-Star.
Four-time All-Star. Kemba Walker's a superior player. I'm sorry. He is. I like him on the team. And I would not say, you know, we don't need Kemba Walker because we have Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, offensively, kind of sucks. He does as a shooter anyway. He's a good passer, and he, you know, runs the system and runs the offense, but, you know, he's just a back-breaking three-point miss. You know, just he's always doing that. He's just around the corner with that, with his wretched offensive shooting. So, no, I'm sorry. That doesn't equate to me. Kemba Walker's part of the answer. He's just got to be healthy.
Yeah, I told you, I think he's overrated. I don't think he's, you know, he's fine. I mean, he's fine as your fourth guy. It's fine. You're paying him $31 million, which is not what you, but whatever it is, it's not typically what you pay a fourth guy. But I'm telling you, I think Isaiah's ceiling, at least with the Celtics, I think Isaiah's ceiling was higher.
No. Nope. I mean, maybe as a get hot scorer, purely as that, like who could score more points in a fourth quarter? Fine, Isaiah. Maybe, you know. But there's not one other thing I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas over Kemba Walker for. Not one other thing.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, look, if you're talking intangibles, maybe Kemba's a better guy in the locker room. But Isaiah was, Didn't Isaiah average like almost 30 points one year with the Celtics?
Yeah.
He averaged like 28 and change.
King of the fourth and all that.
Right. They also had nobody else. So, I mean, he didn't have to share the ball with Tatum or Hayward or guys like this. He didn't have
Jay Crowder and the rest of those stiffs.
Right. Exactly. So that's why I'm saying Kemba's Isaiah 2.0. He's got to share it a little bit more. I'm telling you, they're not that different. They're not that different.
Yeah. Maz, you're chasing the Kyrie Irving thing, pal.
I'm not chasing the Kyrie Irving thing at all. You're overrating Kemba Walker.
No, he's a good little player. He's a good little player. Yeah. With the noises, I feel like I'm talking to Jones. With the guttural noises. There is breaking news in Major League Baseball today. Big Jim Murray here with the latest, and then we continue with your phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. 9 to 10 minutes was the kind of the time we had for him to play. Like we said, he's going to be on a minutes restriction when we start playing the seeding games, but I thought he looked good. I thought he had his burst. I thought he played hard defensively. Created a couple of created chaos on a couple of different plays. Offensively, you know, I thought he got to the rim and or got his shot. So, yeah, encouraged by it.
All right, that's Brad Stevens on Kemba Walker. Even in the apocalypse, the annoying bouncy ball in the background. It's like you can't do basketball press conferences next to the floor.
All right, shouldn't that, like, with Zoom, you can take it anywhere. Take the laptop into the room without the bouncing basketballs.
Close the door! Yeah, right. Go in the other room and close the door! God!
It's so true, though. Like, you know, I wonder if maybe it's artificial. Maybe it's piped in.
Can you go in the hallway? Like, for a league that is so savvy, the constant bouncy ball in the background. It's like we can hear it. It ruins the sound. Don't you know this by now? God, that's so annoying. More thoughts coming up here, including on the Bruins. David in New Bedford on the Bruins and David Pastrnak. Go ahead, David.
Yes, it's good news that Pastrnak's back practicing, I think. And you were right, Maz. The Bruins are playing Thursday and then Sunday. Do you guys think the Bruins will get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference?
I hope so, David. I hope so. You know, I like David's calls. I like David's calls. You know why?
Oh, he's quick and
right,
to the point.
Right to the point.
Yeah.
The phone always works. The calls are 20 seconds or less. And we usually have something to talk about afterwards. It's like, why is that so hard? And close the door when you're talking to the coach after basketball practice. Like, God. Yes, I think they should go for the one seed. They did enough bitching and crying and moaning about the new playoff format where they lost the number one seed that all it takes is going to be a couple of wins, I think. You're the best team anyway, or you think you're the best team, or the regular season showed you're the best team. So just go play hard in a couple of these games, win the first two, and then you get to that third one where it's against the Capitals, and then maybe you can pick and choose a little bit. Maybe for some reason it'll be better to be the two seed than the one seed, and then you can screw around a little bit or someone's dinged up. Then, you know, when we get to that third game, get to that third game. But go out and win the first two, okay? That's what I think. You have a thought, Maz?
No. Nope, I don't. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
No. Honestly, I was researching something on Isaiah Thomas and Kemba Walker, which I'm going to shove down your throat later.
You're making breathing noises. Go ahead. This is I could tell you had something. I just didn't know what it was. Go ahead. Why don't you shove it down my throat now?
Okay, so Isaiah Thomas is 3 years with the Celtics, 3 years as a starter. From 2014-15 through 16-17, his numbers are better than Kemba Walker's.
Okay, he wasn't playing with anybody, Maz. He was the king of the bridges. There was no one else.
Neither was Walker. That's sort of an apples to apples. I'll take that. But he was better from the floor. He was better from the line. He was better from three-point land. He scored more points. He had more assists. Like, where's the gray area? Walker's a better rebounder. Woohoo! Yay! I got a 5'11" guy who can rebound. Terrific. What's that going to do for me?
I misunderstood. I thought you meant better than Kemba Walker is here with the Celtics. You're talking about Walker and Charlotte.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I was trying to do more apples to apples, Brad Stevens system, Celtics, blah, blah, blah. But either way, I don't know. Stats are for losers is what I would say to that. I watch both players. I know Isaiah Thomas can get hot, can carry you in the fourth. I would much, much, much rather have Kemba Walker. And you would have said the same thing back when Isaiah Thomas was here. But, you know, you just have this little contrarian streak, Maz, that I don't, fully understand myself.
I have no such contrarian streak. I'm just telling you that Kemba Walker is not as good as you think he is.
Joe in Needham. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Maz, first of all, congrats on that hole-in-one a few weeks ago. That was pretty nice.
Thank you. I agree.
Number two, they need to do something about the fan noise. Why is there no difference of when somebody gets thrown out at first rather than when there's a home run? Like, there needs to be some nuance in that.
Yeah. This is one of the things that was bugging me. There's really no difference. And if you're just taking it from, say, a video game, MLB The Show, whatever it happens to be, guess what? When you play the game, there is nuance in those games. So have more buttons, I guess. Program more buttons to hit for, there has to be, a level of how the cheer actually is or how the boo should be.
I'll admit it is weird. Like, as much as I said, I like the murmur underneath, and I do. Like, when you're watching it, you say to yourself, there's nobody there. Why am I hearing this? Like, it is, you can totally see through it. There's no two ways about it.
I mean, it is something I can't get used to, just the ambient noise, the white noise, the pink noise, whatever you want to call it, is, like, it's acceptable. But the cheering, so you're saying in the video game, Murray, there's a cheer for a double, there's a cheer for a homer, there's a cheer for a grand slam. There's different volumes.
Yeah, typically, yeah. I mean, the way that they make these games now, yes, there's a difference between striking out the side and a walk-off home run. The cheer should be different. It typically is in games. And this, it's like they've programmed one universal button. It's just labeled cheer. You hit that, strike a guy out. Walk-off home run.
It's like the bubble hockey.
Yeah.
Boo, boo.
Mike and Melrose on the Red Sox. Yes, Michael?
All the MLB's been telling us is that this is going to be a sprint. It's going to be exciting. Then on day two, Renicky's resting, guys. They haven't played in 8 months. And Benintendi, that shouldn't be a resting. That we'll wait 3 weeks, let him go 0-30, and that's a benching. I see 20 and 40 coming here.
Okay, yeah, they might blow, Mike. They might completely suck. And I'm not blaming Renicky for the lineups. I'm sorry. My guess is there's very few managers who are in charge of their lineup.
Okay, independent of who you blame, it's wrong.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
It's wrong. That's the part that irritates me. Second game, and he's right. He nailed it. All they did is, there's urgency. There's intensity. Every game matters. Second day of the year, you bench your best player. I mean, not bench, rest. You rest your best player? I mean, it's like, why am I even watching then?
Okay, we've got all these things on the board. Do want to get to a big trade across the NFL over the weekend that was actually, if you can believe it, well executed by the New York Jets. Now, what do they do with it? That's the big question. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Throughout the offseason, Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams kept challenging the Jets to move him. First, he challenged the owner, Woody Johnson. Then he moved on to the general manager, Joe Douglas. Then he took on the head coach, Adam Gase. But the truth of the matter was, the Jets already had talks in motion well before Adams' comments appeared in Friday's New York Daily News ripping the organization. The Jets were well into talks with the Seattle Seahawks on the trade that went down Saturday afternoon that'll send two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Bradley McDougal to the New York Jets in a exchange for Adams. The Jets were in those talks with the Seahawks. The Seahawks are not shy about trading first-round picks for players. They've done it before with Percy Harvin and Jimmy Graham, and now Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams gets his wish, the Jets get their haul, and everybody's happy.
So what a trade this was. The Jets trading Jamal Adams, heck of a player, you know, their best player. Sort of a Darrell Revis type, but at safety. He's the guy that had the pick six on Stidham last year, in case you're not familiar with the player. He is a head case, though, hated Adam Gase, wanted out, been barking for weeks, months about the Jets, so they finally trade his ass to Seattle, along with a fourth-round pick. So they send Jamal Adams and a fourth-round pick to Seattle in return for Bradley McDougal, who you just heard Schefter talk about. He's a starting safety. May not be a great player, but he's started each of the last 2 years for the Seahawks. A first-round pick in 2021, a third-round pick in 2021, and a first-round pick in 2022. That right there for a safety is a freaking motherload. And let me tell you why also it's a motherload trade. Jamal Adams, let's just call him the best safety in the game. Right? I don't know if he is, but that's, you know, he's certainly one, two, or three in the league and a big impact player. What kind of impact do safeties have anymore? I mean, it's not like the old days where Jamal Adams can go out there and ring somebody's bell and set a tone for the game, or he can set a physical presence, or the game has changed. You know, you can't, Ronnie Lott doesn't exist and Rodney Harrison don't exist anymore. They get legislated right out of the league. So, you know, I just think he fits Seattle perfectly in what Pete wants to do and how Pete plays defense. But to give up two first-round picks for any safety in this day and age, that is insane, Maz.
Look, the price is astronomical, but I like it. I think Seattle values that position. I think a great safety, and I think this guy qualifies, a great safety. And I know you're talking about the hitting, but I also think that there's a turnover element to a great safety. And so, now look, would I give up two first-round picks and the whole haul that you talked about? Would I give that up for a safety? I don't know. But I will say that if you're talking about Earl Thomas, and I'm now throwing Baltimore in there, Ed Reed, like the real elite game-changing safeties, and this guy proves to be one of them, I don't know if he's worth it, but he's close.
Yeah, so the argument for Seattle doing it is he plays everywhere. And so his career snap percentages, only 41% actually at safety, 39% outside linebacker, and then they have him at slot corner, outside corner at times, and even inside linebacker. So the versatility factor, maybe that's why they ultimately did it. But overall, if you can get two first-round picks for a safety, no matter how good that safety is, and I think Jamal Adams is the best in the league, you do it. That position's not worth two first-round draft picks. A shutdown corner like Jalen Ramsey, I can see why a team like the Rams made that deal, but a safety, please.
Yeah, and I don't, I mean, what has he meant to the Jets? I mean, what is the best safety?
What's anyone meant to the Jets?
But I mean, but this is sort of my point. It's that I don't think, you know, he fits on a Seattle, on a Baltimore, you know,
sure,
a defense that can use him, accentuate him, and has a good team around him. Now he's a difference-making safety and kind of a final piece kind of guy. If you're a lousy team, and you got a great safety. Well, I mean, I think you saw what he was worth. Whatever. What were they last year? 6-10?
Right.
I mean, what's a great safety worth on a bad team in today's day and age? He's really more of a final piece kind of guy to me than someone that you build your team around. And I don't know, two first or not. Now, what will the Jets do with it? That's a whole other, you know they'll screw it up, and you know they won't end up maximizing it, but that's a great haul for them.
Well, for sure, but especially, though, you know, there is a way they can screw it up. What if there's no college football season this year? So then this pick, this first right. rounder in this year's draft, this next draft, is going to be one big guessing game.
So true. And as, you know, our resident Jets fan, Vinny, writes in, he says, this is the story. You know, what a haul the Jets got. Awesome, but not the story. This is the story. What are the odds that Jamal Adams was right when he said Adam Gates is not the leader the Jets need? He says, I bet those odds are pretty good. And even if Jamal Adams was dead wrong about Gase, his opinion has already infiltrated that locker room. He was a leader on that team, Jamal Adams was. Good, bad, or indifferent, those guys looked up to him on some level. Gase is now officially a lame duck coach, and they should have announced his firing minutes after the Adams trade. Let the new guy get some games under his belt and pray you hit on the first four rounders they have in the next 2 years.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
keeping in mind, he mentioned that their three best first-rounders they've ever picked on offense since 1996 are Keyshawn Johnson, Mark Sanchez, and Sam Darnold. And there isn't going to be any college football this year. And even if there is, scouts won't travel. So this is going well. Go Jets. Yeah, so that, you know, like the great haul, but you know the Jets won't be able to maximize it. But that's a hell of a pickup for the Jets. All right, so you can add that to the list. Everything's on the board here on a reentry Monday. We've got all four sports going. We've got the Red Sox absolutely sucking, and Major League Baseball perhaps on the verge of being shut down. That's our lead story, but we're talking about everything, including Maz's obsession with bashing Kemba Walker. Chris in Hartford wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Hey, Maz, let me ask you a question.
Go.
Kemba Walker versus Kyrie Irving.
As a player?
For your career. Let me finish. Maz, Kemba Walker versus Kyrie Irving. As a percentage, who has a better catch-and-shoot percentage in their entire career? If you want to bring up stats, who's a better catch-and-shoot player?
Well, obviously it's Kemba because you wouldn't ask me otherwise.
So I guess stats are for losers, huh?
Yep.
Well, that one certainly is.
I mean, so look.
Catch and shoot percentage?
Yeah, seriously,
really?
Stop it. How about catch, shoot, and wipe?
What does it matter if you have the ball and you're not catching and shooting? You're just shooting, which is what Kyrie Irving does because he's ball dominant, blah, blah, blah. I don't care if you're – I mean, if you're a two guard, I want you to be a good catch and shoot player. But otherwise, how do you shoot? Whether you catch and shoot or just – shoot and shoot.
Oh,
what's
God.
The difference?
It's like, see, this is, if Kemba Walker weren't wearing a Celtics uniform, they wouldn't get their panties in a bunch, their green panties in a bunch. Kyrie Irving is a superior player to Kemba Walker. It's really not even that close. Now, a better guy? Kemba a million times over. No two ways about it. But please, don't embarrass yourself trying to compare the two of them as players.
Well, Kyrie Irving is more talented, but functionally, right? Who might produce more on the floor? It might be Kemba Walker, because I don't know. For all I know, Kyrie Irving is about to completely leave us in terms of a sane, normal system. Like I feel like he's about to lose his mind, you know, and never play again or something. Like I just feel like he's always teetering on something, and I'm not sure. I mean, I think Kemba Walker is a competitive, tough basketball player. And he's not as talented as Kyrie Irving, but I'd rather have him on my team every day of the week. I'm not sure if Kyrie Irving's ever going to play again.
Okay, he is a competitive, tough basketball player. So was Isaiah Thomas.
Sure, he was. And I liked Isaiah, too.
Yeah, me too. I don't dislike Kemba. I'm just telling you he's not as good as you think he is.
But, you know, we did spend about three straight years bashing what we did call the mouthy little peanut and really give it to him. But now that he's gone in somewhere else, suddenly you'd rather have him than Kemba Walker?
Who, me?
You, yes, you.
I just said he's a better. I think his ceiling was higher than Kemba Walker's.
How much taller is Kemba Walker?
Couple inches. One's 5'8", one's 5'10".
Yeah, like, I mean, Kemba Walker, I know this sounds silly, but I think Kemba Walker plays bigger. I mean, he's just, I mean, Isaiah Thomas was distractingly small. I mean, he was debilitatingly small. Kemba Walker's just undersized. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, so that's fair. I would say Kemba's a little bit better on the defensive end, but at the end of the day, you know, they're both going to get abused. I mean, what's the difference? Neither one of them is going to be able to handle anybody bigger than them.
Okay.
So yeah, Kemba's pesky, but I just don't think there's much difference between the players.
Back to our lead story. The Red Sox blow, and the season's about to be dismantled. And it's really tied together, Red Sox fans. Would you rather them just bang the season because of COVID, because of the COVID outbreak of the Miami Marlins and maybe Major League Baseball's inability to get this season off cleanly? Would you rather them just cancel the thing than having to watch what you watched over the weekend from your Boston Red Sox? Again, baseball's in peril and the Red Sox blow. Our lead story after Murray's 90-second update. He'll update you on the very latest across Major League Baseball, and then we'll get to that again right after these words. No spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.